Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Packed program, as always. We're going to launch into it right away here. But I do want to just mention our email address where you can reach us. I do not do Twitter. I do not do Facebook. I've had them both. I've canceled them both. And I'm back to just a plain old email. If you want to reach me, you may. At info@redskyradio.net. info@redskyradio.net. Have a varied program today. I have a lot of different topics I'd like to touch on if I can get to them, including one dealing with the nation of India. And that's going to be a little bit later on in the program, but I just wanted to point that out. Red Sky Radio passed a milestone last week of having in excess of 200,000 listeners. And the statistics that I received from the tech man were very interesting. 51% of those listeners were from the U.S. 49% of those listeners, almost half of that 217,000, I think is what it recorded just on the internet alone, not including terrestrial stations, just half of those, for almost over 100,000 of them, were foreign. And the country that has the most listeners to Red Sky Radio after the United States is the nation of India. And there's a lot going on there this week, and some things I thought of biblical interest that in the preparation of this program that I felt like the Lord brought out. I want to pass those on. I don't think that they are things that give us direction, but it also just, it does give insight into something Solomon said, that, and that is that there's nothing new under the sun. And you're going to hear about that a little bit later. But I do try to start the program with good news, end with good news, hang on in between. It could be an e-ticket ride. But right out of the gate, oh, what a difference a president makes. Because the Trump administration won a court case 7-4 in the Ninth Circuit, which is out headquartered in San Francisco, covers the western United States. It's often referred to as the Ninth Circus because they have no use for the Constitution. It's the circuit that has been overruled by Supreme Court decisions more than any other circuit, be that a relatively conservative Supreme Court or a liberal Supreme Court. They are the most overruled. But what a difference a president makes, because the president has been appointing just gobs of conservative-leaning judges, and a bunch of them have ended up on the Ninth Circuit. And so the Ninth Circuit, miracle of miracles, I mean, this is right up there with the Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl as far as miracles go, that they ruled that the Trump administration can enforce a rule denying Title X funds to family planning clinics that promote abortion. So in other words, we had this law that Title X, you couldn't use the funds for the promotion of abortion. But that has been around for a while. Sometime, but you had courts, lower courts in California, Oregon, and Washington, all of which ruled it unconstitutional. And then it goes to the Ninth Circuit, where probably those lower court judges are thinking, hey, this is a slam dunk. They're going to support us. The question is, what will happen at the Supreme Court level? But no, it doesn't even get to the Supreme Court level. It got slammed at the Ninth Circuit level. So this points to a couple of things. Obviously, the fact that presidents can make a difference. Number two, that presidents make one of their biggest differences in the appointment of judges. We know that from the Supreme Court on down. And this is just, I just give praise to God for this turn of events. Of course, Xavier Becerra, the Attorney General of California, said, oh, this is just another attack on women's reproductive rights. Well, you know what abortion is? It is an attack on the child's right to live. So who gives a rip about women's reproductive rights when it's facing the right of somebody who's innocent to live? You know what? That's a no-brainer. And Becerra points out why he's just so incredibly godless, and he reveals it all the time, but he reflects the loser status of that whole state. There are a lot of good people in California. The problem is they're just in a very distinct minority, and many of them don't have the guts to speak up. Before I move on, I meant to do this last week, but the quote of the week, I want to thank Lita, who sent this in out of, I think she's in California, but I read a couple of books on Winston Churchill, and Churchill is a guy that I admire for the right things, don't admire for the wrong things. He was a man for his time. And in that sense, I actually make some comparisons of him to Trump. Trump would not have been the right president in 1980. We needed Ronald Reagan. But in 2016, Ronald Reagan was not the right man for the United States. It needed a bruiser. It needed a thrasher and a crasher who couldn't give a rip about the deep state, nor did Ronald Reagan. He just never got to the point of tearing it up. You see, they were both non-deep state people. They didn't have Washington alliances. Well, I wanted to share this quote that Lita sent in here. Winston Churchill said, and coming on the heels of the debate in South Carolina the other night, where socialism seems to keep percolating towards the top here, Churchill said, socialism is a philosophy of failure. It is the creed of ignorance and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. Wow. Boy, you know, he just, in his time, he was the only one that could have led England in wartime. In peacetime, maybe not the right guy. But in wartime, he was definitely, and we are in a war here in the United States, a moral and cultural, spiritual battle that it needs some Cyruses, of which Donald Trump is one, to go in and do the damage that needs to be done. You know what? Is he a bull in a china shop? Yeah, and that's a good thing if the china needs to be busted. So one other thing, that I'm just going to bring this up because it's a matter of prayer. The Supreme Court is actually weighing a very important case, and that is whether foster care agencies have the right to deny adoption by homosexuals and trannies. Same thing. Transgenders are simply homosexuals that have to change their sex so they feel better about their homosexual tendencies. That's not a very difficult subject. But sad to say, well, there were two particular parties in this case, the Fulton versus Philadelphia. One of them was the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So it's a Catholic adoption agency, a Catholic social services, I think is what it was. The other one was Bethany Christian Services of the Greater Delaware Valley. The Bethany Christian Services, like so many Christian operations, bailed. They caved. They just, because they didn't want to go out of business, they decided to do the work of the devil and start to place children in the hands of homosexuals who have been proven statistically have a 750% greater probability of abusing children. So you want to hike the child abuse inside the household? Just have homosexuals adopt. Sorry, Mr. Pete Buttgag and everybody else. That is the fact. That is the fact. If homosexuality were inborn, then why do children living with homosexual parents, loosely so-called, have a much, much higher rate, I don't know how many hundreds of percent it is, of practicing homosexuality, because it isn't inbred. Neither of those homosexuals had the kid. I'm talking about two men, probably not neither of the women. It isn't genetic. Anyway, but pray for the Supreme Court, because this is a huge case. Because if it turns out, and this points out another reason, the importance of having a president that is either a godly president with guts. I'm not interested in a godly president who has no cojones. We've sort of had those before. Nope, don't want those anymore. They're the worst of all. That kind of a fake Christianity, or maybe they're Christians, but they just don't have the guts to actually employ it because they want too much to be liked. Interestingly, Donald Trump, a narcissist, does he love being liked? Yes, he does. Did he enjoy the 110,000 screaming and adoring fans in India this week, most of whom were wearing MAGA hats? Absolutely. But you know what? He enjoys it because it's a support of what he's doing, and what he's doing are, for the most part, really, really good things. So I'm okay with that. With somebody if he's got to go, he doesn't have to go to India to get an adoring crowd. He can go in any city in this country, and there will be thousands of people who are left standing outside that want to get. I don't care if it's L.A. I think maybe even San Francisco. He would fill up in an auditorium and have some, and you need to leave some people outside to fight and battle the screaming leftist mobs and the Antifa monsters that come around in the name of democracy, act like Nazis. The brown shirts of the left wing. The Nazi youth corps of the Democrat Party. Well, I got to keep moving along here, but I thought it was interesting that the Democrats, now we're going to move to the politics a little bit, back to the debate, we'll get to India. The Democrats have attempted to sort of have the Trump-Russia hoax 2.0, as Mr. Nolte, a writer here for Breitbart, notes, in the fake story that the Soviets are out to help Bernie Sanders win the Democratic primary by meddling in the 2020 election. That was a story that broke everywhere. And even CNN, not MSNBC. Those guys are so stinking lost. It's unbelievable. I only have one prayer for MSNBC, and that is that it goes bankrupt. Sorry, you guys. But they're out there. Even CNN had to recant this Russian collusion hoax that the Russians are in it for Bernie. Now, I had a conflict the other night, didn't get to see the debate. I heard Sanders read about the fact that he did not do well, and he is really, really upsetting a bunch of Jews who, it's about time, got the heck out of the Democrat Party. I mean, Jews, by and large, are pretty smart people. The one area where there's a blind spot, and it is blindness, because God says that he's given them blindness until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, is on issues like why are there ever Democrats to begin with? I mean, the Democrats hate Israel. All the Jew haters, every single Jew hater in Congress is a Democrat. Every single one. And yet the Democrats vote for them. Well, they're getting ticked off at Sanders finally, so maybe Trump would be a shoo-in. But here is my theory, who's behind this. Now, maybe this has been on the mainstream media and news. I don't know. I have not heard this, but I'm going to just tell you my thoughts. Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe we're during our break. I guess I'm going to have to tell you my thoughts in a few minutes. That's all assuming I can remember my thoughts for the next minute and 15 seconds. Hey, we'll be right back with Red Sky Radio. This is Rob Walter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com. Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
We are back. This is Rob Walter, the Red Sky. Gosh, I love that song, and I actually sort of hate to see who was it, Domino's, that now is using that. I was just kind of wanted to have it all to myself, but it is what it is. Okay, back to the Russia hoax thing. This is my quick theory on this, and I'm going to also quote from Mr. Nolte, actually not Mr. Nolte, a different party, as to why this hoax is so ridiculous. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. My theory behind who's behind this, I'm actually starting to think that Hillary Rodham, R-O-T-T-E-M, Clinton is behind it. That number one, she's the one floating the Russian hoax theory to help Bernie. Number two, she knows that if she can make some headway, even if though it's preposterous, some people want to believe that the Russians are involved in everything. And the Democrats, who now are fearing and are scared of Bernie, are jumping onto Hillary's bandwagon to push this theory that the Russians are helping Bernie, because it will help deny Bernie the nomination once again. Because the Democrats are just out to rip this guy off. Hillary ripped him off in 2016, and this is sort of like the sequel. This is you could call it Russia hoax 2.0, but I think you could call it Hillary's ripoff 2.0, because I have a tendency to think that she's behind it. Why? Because if she can derail it just enough so that Bernie doesn't get enough delegates and force it into a brokered convention this summer, then Hillary has the opportunity to rise up and spread her demonic nature across the room and attempt to once again become the nominee. I don't know why this woman just doesn't go away. Hillary, people don't like you. I don't like you. A lot of people don't like you. A lot of people don't like you even in your own party. You're obnoxious. And you're craven. You have a lust for power. You are a modern day Jezebel. And Hillary, don't make me go in and do that program again about how you're a Jezebel. All right. But you get down here. It is Mr. John Hinderaker, writing for the Powerline, said, "This is so preposterous because Trump is an anathema to the rulers of Russia. Not only has he armed the Ukrainians, number one, he has reinvigorated NATO, number two, by insisting that members take an interest in their own defense. Gee, way to go, Trump. Another great thing he did. Number three, he stood up to and badly wounded Russia's key ally, Iran. Way to go, Trump. Something the Democrats don't do. Number four, there's an expansion strengthening of American armed forces. And not to overlook, five, the fracking and other development of U.S. oil and gas resources under Donald Trump, which has kept the global price of oil down." He goes on to say, "This hits Russia where it hurts the most. As one pundit has noted, Russia is essentially a heavily armed gas station." End quote. Petroleum represents more than 50% of their total exports. So when you have a president who opens up the oil business and the fracking in this country and the enormous increase in production in the U.S. keeps oil prices down. And the oil prices are the biggest export, oil and gas, of Russia. What do you think Russia would want? Russia would want somebody like Barack Hussein Obama or a Bernie Sanders, Mr. BS himself. They'd want somebody like that, I suppose, to shut down the fracking to drive the price of oil up so that Russia's exports are more valuable. They'd want Trump gone for those reasons. Yes, they might support Bernie, but the fact of the matter is, on all the issues that I've just read that Trump has done fabulously about, every Democrat is on the wrong side of every one of those points. Bernie isn't any more anti-U.S., frankly, than the others as to those 5 points. Now, next story. I've got to keep moving along here. Trump names Richard Grenell as an acting head of national intelligence. Now, keep in mind, this is only the acting head. He hasn't been confirmed in a permanent position. He's still functioning in his ambassadorial role, I believe, to Germany, I think it is. But he has drawn attention from both sides, and it's a very interesting case. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to distinguish Mr. Grenell from Mr. Pete Buttigieg. And people don't like me calling him that, and in a few minutes I'm going to tell you why I'm going to keep calling him that and why there's a difference. Mr. Grenell is an open homosexual. He has pushed for homosexual rights, but there's something different about him is that historically, he has, and historically, meaning very consistently, he has been a hardline conservative on virtually all of the issues related to national intelligence, armament, all of those things. He has been one of these homosexual guys who is off on that issue and appears to be pretty correct and good on other issues. Strong supporter of Israel. He is actually, though, hated by the left. And what I find really interesting about this is, you know, the left will say Trump is homophobic and he's racist and blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact of the matter is, if there's any area in which Trump is sort of laid off, it's dealing on issues of homosexuality. He doesn't get into that. I think it's a non-issue with President Trump. And I'm going to go to a couple of things that I said 4 years ago about him to make that point even further in a minute. But the left despises Mr. Grenell, and the left, who generally loves the advancement of the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ agenda, hate Grenell. And apparently because he's really liked by Trump. So the point is, if Trump likes you, the left hates you. It doesn't matter who you are. Just like this gal, I can't think of her name. She was an open, radical, lesbian feminist who finally just threw in the towel and she said, that does it. I can't stand the non-inclusiveness, the intolerance of the homosexual, of the left, including the homosexual left, but now there's this division within the left. She said, I'm going to become a conservative. I don't have the time to go into it, but it's just an interesting world of strange bedfellows. But the New York Times writes that by choosing Mr. Grenell, he has little experience in intelligence or in running a large bureaucracy. That's their criticism. Well, yeah, I want to ask you, New York slimes, why were you salivating over Barack Hussein Obama, who had zero experience in running a large country, in running a large bureaucracy, who had no experience whatsoever other than as a stinking community organizer? And if you think I'm saying that with contempt, I'm guilty as charged. Community organizer. What a wasted job unless you're trying to organize for the good. On the left, it's a bad thing. Barack Obama, the worst president in modern U.S. history. But to New York slimes, who could not spell hypocrisy, they criticize him because of a lack of experience and intelligence in running a large bureaucracy while they fawned over Barack Obama. The fact of the matter is, what Trump wants And this is true. This is an insight, and it comes from a biblical perspective. This is, take this as gospel because it is, because it comes from the gospel. When you are a leader, particularly who has a lot of challenges, and people hate you, okay, we described Trump enough here? There comes a certain quality that tends to rise above every single other quality or negativity, if you will, and that is loyalty. Trump is in a position, because you have to understand, he is battling a deep state that is much deeper than he thought. It is more sinister than he thought. It's more entrenched than he thought. It's more wicked and evil than he thought. And he needs loyal people in key positions to root out the disloyalty. Now, I want to say something. It's interesting. There have been a couple of articles I've read that if you want to make a difference between gays and straights, so to speak here, there actually is a slightly higher level of disloyalty to the United States among homosexuals. I mean, you get down to, I don't even want to go into them, but they're notable cases. Slightly higher. Not a big deal here. Trump has not been big on this particular issue. He's looking for loyalty. And he found in himself somebody who has a shared value as it relates to the things that this man stands for. He even said, when as an ambassador of Germany, he said, quote, this is Grinnell, "I want absolutely to empower other conservatives throughout Europe, other leaders." He said, "I think there's a groundswell of conservative policies that are taking hold because of the failed policies of the left." And it's interesting that Trump has picked him. And the biblical corollary I want to draw here, David was on the run. He was on the lam, so to speak, from King Saul. And David, a righteous man, he had three particular generals later on in Scripture that he lauded because of intense, immense, and impenetrable loyalty. They actually also were good at what they did, but they were loyal. But when David was on the run, he needed an army to survive. And if you look in Scripture, you'll see that included in David's army of 600 men, which is not a big army, there were a bunch of malcontents. There were a bunch of disaffected have-nots and opportunists. There were a bunch of people that joined David's band at a time that he needed bodies, that did not share David's values, but they made him a force to be reckoned with. It gave him the number of people that he needed to go back and or go and recapture the goods and the wives and the children that were stolen when Ziklag was sacked and burned with fire. So there are those times that there are these odd alignments. One of the biggest, I'm a big Second Amendment guy, huge Second Amendment guy. One of the biggest Second Amendment supporters out there happens to be a group of lesbians called the Pink Pistols. Okay? On that one, I'm going to align with them. You know, I don't have an issue. We see the same as that. And so when this country splits, and it will split, I think it's the time, the handwriting is on the wall, notwithstanding Donald Trump, he's a stay of execution. But when it does split, those that will be calling for the separation on the godly side, when certain states will flee, will have as part of that group of people those who really don't share the biblical values that's at the core that formed the genesis of the separation movement. They won't share it. They're going to be land speculators. There'll be carpetbaggers. There's going to be scum that will join it, and yet they will actually help make it happen. It's just sort of the way it's been. I don't fully understand that. Do I like the fact that Mr. Grinnell in his position advocates for gay rights? I do not. No, I do not. And yet, I'm going to have to leave it to Trump on this one. If this man can do the right thing in his, if Trump can keep him busy enough in his existing capacity, he hasn't, doesn't have time for fiddling around with all these other things, then maybe okay. Maybe. But I want to point out something here, and I got to keep moving here. I'm running behind. Three things. I indicated, and this goes back to 4 years ago, almost 4 years, the early summer of 2016, when Trump was ascending, and then he got the nomination. I said, understand something about Donald Trump and be prepared. Donald Trump excels over Hillary Clinton, the Jezebel, in many ways, because Trump will get many things right, even if by accident or apparent accident or casual action that he does that's right, that's of big significance. It's sort of a casual deal for him to move the embassy to Jerusalem and Israel. It wasn't a big deal to him. He just did it. It was somebody else's suggestion when they said, how about moving the embassy? Well, hey, I'll think about that. And so he's done a lot of things right by accident. And I said Hillary Clinton will get everything wrong by design. But the point here to be made is that he's going to get some things right, even if by accident. Number two, that being the case, he's going to disappoint some people. And there are conservatives that are disappointed with his appointment. I can't say the jury is out here. If the absolute right guy for this position happens to be the homosexual guy, you know, I guess I'd pick him if he's the absolute loyal, because Grinnell is loyal to the core, and that is the real reason the left hates him so much. See, normally they would be extolling the virtues of anybody appointing a openly homosexual cabinet member, and I'm not crazy about it either. But the left would say this is fabulous, except it's Trump. You know, if Trump says tomato, the left says tomato. You know, that's where they are. That's why I have somewhat jokingly said, if you really want to have abortion end in this country, let Trump come out for abortion. And then the left will have to pile on, and the other side, and the left and the right, join together and get rid of abortion because they hate him so much. But he's going to disappoint us in some things, and he's been silent in that particular area. Number three, and I need to point this out. I made it very clear 4 years ago when I went through the whole paradigm of Donald Trump being Jehu, and it took a ruthless chariot driver like Jehu to destroy the evil, wicked, pernicious pit of hell woman Jezebel, a.k.a. Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the Jehu had all the priests of Baal destroyed. And it was obvious God had used Jehu, who was not known for his righteousness, just like Donald Trump. All these comparisons that I made 4 years ago, I said, and I still say to this day, I hope that the paradigm is not a complete paradigm. Because at the end of Jehu's life, his successors are guaranteed a seat on the throne of Israel to the third or fourth generation. I don't remember which. However, Jehu himself returned to the worship of Baal. And I thought, oh God, do not let Donald Trump return to his previous ways. And if the paradigm is complete, that will happen. I only say that, as I've said it many times before, but haven't said it for about a year and a half now. If that should happen and he's elected to a second term, just remember, not where you heard it, but remember that you heard that the paradigm of Trump as Jehu is that Jehu actually ultimately disappointed God and turned his back on the true God of Israel and went back to serving Baal. Hope that doesn't happen. Now, my difference here, and this is why the main reason I brought up Grinnell, is to point out the distinction between him and Pete Buttigieg. I have gotten some pushback. Nobody I heard of it seems to like me calling him Pete Buttigieg, but I'm going to tell you why I'm going to continue. Sorry if it offends you, but if it's true, the guy makes me hurl. Don't make me look at the at a picture of two men kissing unless you want puke all over that picture. I will Ralph. I will barf like I've got coronavirus or something if I got to look at that. I did a stint at Wells Fargo, and I had to put up with those sodomites that run that country or that company. Had to put up with some of that stuff, and I ended up, I quit. I told them to take their sodomy gig and just stick it. I had to. I couldn't take that anymore because it's so violative of God's law. But here's the difference between butt gag and Grinnell. And I'm going to say this in the context of why I continue to pick on him. Because butt gag does nothing but quote scripture to attack Christians all of the time. He's always attacking Christianity. This is the degree of guilt, but for a guy to claim he is a Christian and spend all of his time attacking Christians and saying that they have an unbiblical perspective of the world to support Trump, while this guy is doing things that God calls abominable, that God applauded Hezekiah for running the homosexuals out of Judea, and for which Paul talks about in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Look, there is no one. Oh, let me put it this way. Butt gag actually has eclipsed Obama in this department. No one used scripture at the time more than Obama to push unbiblical ideas. Remember, it was B.O. himself who said that the idea that caused him to switch his position and now support queer marriage was the Sermon on the Mount. And the only thing the Sermon on the Mount has anything to do with homosexual sex is the word mount. That's where it ends, folks. Until Beat Pete Buttgag comes along and cannot wait to attack Christians all the time, allegedly in using scripture to do so. Number two, number one, my point of distinction is Grinnell doesn't do that. Yeah, he's out there doing his homosexual thing and pushing some things where he has the opportunity to do so, but he's not combative against the Christian community. In other words, he's not faking it. He's not calling himself Christian. Buttgag thinks he is. And the way he has to distinguish and somehow deal with his conviction for his own horrible sin is to accuse others of basically holding up scripture. But in addition to speaking evil all the time of Christians, the fact of the matter is, because he's doing that, number two, why I call him that, is because if he's going to attack me, I got the right to defend myself. If he's going to attack Christians and lie and pervert, because that's what he does, he perverts the Bible. And he's going to attack me by way of inclusion as a Trump supporter, I'm going to attack him. Grinnell has not done that, mind you. Grinnell has not done that at all. Number three, and maybe the most important, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to give you a moment to go write that down because this is going to be illustrative. It's going to be instructive of why Pete Buttgag has no place in politics. He has no place in the church. And if he has no place in the church, guess where else he has no place in? Can he come out and be changed just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11? Such were some of you. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were homosexuals, but you no longer are. Yeah, you know, certainly he can, but he hasn't. At this point, all he does is attack Christianity. But in 1 Corinthians 5, there is a great and grievous sin in the church. It is a sexual sin. Now, it doesn't happen to be homosexual sex, but it says that it's reported that, it was incest. And it says that the church is not grieving the fact that they are allowing this act to continue. Okay, he says that it's reported commonly among you that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So we've got fornication, sex outside of marriage, but we've got this incestuous situation on top of it. That's why it's worse than the Gentiles. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, goes on to say, he said, I'm not going to tell you that. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle to not company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of the world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or idolaters, for then you'd have to leave the world. In other words, he's saying, I'm not saying not to associate to some degree. You don't have to break off all association by it with all of these people, because if you had to break all association with all the people committing all these sins, you'd have to leave the world. But what he is saying is in the next verse, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man who does these deeds calls himself a brother. So the point that Paul is making, and where Buttgag distinguishes himself in the wrong way from Mr. Grinnell, and in a huge way, is that Mr. Pete claims he's a Christian. And to associate with people who claim to be Christians, as Buttgag does, and is always perverting and distorting and subverting Scripture to attack real Christians. He calls himself a brother, and he is not. Paul says you have nothing to do with that guy, not even to have lunch with him. That's what it says. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, you don't even eat with this guy. So if we're not supposed to eat with him, why would we have him as president? We shouldn't, and we won't. I trust. If we do, we're in big trouble. You don't even eat with a guy. And you see, Grinnell is not calling himself a Christian. He's not pushing his queerdom in a manner that is consistent with being a simultaneous attack against Christians. And so those are the three ways by which Grinnell is different. I'm not giving him accolades. I'm just saying that's why I don't attack him at the level that I attack Pete, and why I do attack Pete, because he is simply, he's a fake Christian. He's faking it. He's as fakey as a Christian. People say, oh, you're judging him. Well, God says, you judge them by their fruit. You'll know them by the fruit of the tree. There's no biblical fruit there. My goodness, it stinks to high heaven, I might add. Okay. Well, I got to keep moving here. I'm running behind here. You know, the debate the other night, I got to make this quick. Honestly, I got to tell you, I'm getting to the point where I actually feel sorry. Yes, I feel sorry for Joe Biden. The guys in the white coats just got to come and take him away. He's such an embarrassment. You know, I practiced, not in the more recent years, but very intentionally in the estate planning area early on, and I had clients who would get dementia and Alzheimer's. I realized it was, it's a terrible thing. There was a woman who was about, she was probably in her 70s, and I'm 35, and she got dementia, and I was a rookie. I didn't know how to deal with it. And one of the neighbors called me one time and says, you got to do something about your client. I said, why is that? Because she's going around the whole town of Oceanside, California, and telling everybody that you and she are having an affair. Oh my gosh, is this where dementia and Alzheimer's, if it's not dealt with in the proper manner, it just leads to greater damage and embarrassment. I feel sorry for Joe, but he's got to step off the stage before he falls off the stage. He's forgotten what office he's running for. He said his son was attorney general when he was vice president. He wasn't, never was vice. He said Deng Xiaoping was a Chinese leader he worked with on the Paris Climate Accord, even though that he died in 1997. And of course, he's just making up stories about being arrested in South Africa lately. The guy's lost it. Joe, just please leave and save the embarrassment to your family. Rob Walter will be back, and we are going to talk about what's going on in India and why it relates to Scripture when we get back. Don't go away.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. Hey, I'm going to cover one really brief thing about the debate to be done with that so we can move on into the India story, and a story that actually relates a little bit to the state of Tennessee. How about that? Because I'm going to end with some good news here, what's going on there. But I thought I heard everything when I was reading the commentary here about the just incredible stupidity that emerged as feigned intelligence at this debate. The depths of stupidity are beyond belief. And one of those things is Tom Steyer, which I guess proves that you don't have to be intelligent to be a billionaire. You got to have something else going for you. But he said that the coronavirus is proof that Donald Trump is incompetent and incompetent on the economy. What? What the heck? But this is the left. If there's a 31-car pileup in the fog on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, it's Trump's fault. If the leaves fall a week early this year, it's Trump's fault. But let him go on and say it. It just means more votes for Trump come 2020. Now, on to India. We actually have tens of thousands of Indian listeners and different parts of that country. And to the Indians listening to this program, I want to apologize for touching so little on your country. I've never been there. My problem here is that we don't know when we're getting the truth, even through our own media, about what's going on in your country. And proof of that fact is, okay, Donald Trump was there this week, right? And he's got 110,000 people that just jam this stadium. Actually adoring fans while wearing mega hats and all of this stuff. And the media is just, oh my gosh, they've gone berserk over seeing Trump idolized in India. And to show you why I don't trust our own media to the point of where I'm able to intelligently address some things in India is this headline. Check this headline out. Death toll rises to 22 from Delhi riots during Trump trip. Let me read that again. Death toll rises to 22 from Delhi riots during Trump trip. In other words, the headline is intended to lead you to believe that the riots occurred as a result of Donald Trump's trip to India, which, of course, has absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. But this is a bias that we deal with in our own media. And the story went on to talk about the lavish reception for Donald Trump. Well, come on, tell me, what reception has not been lavish for Barack Obama or any other president? It's just the media hates this guy. So this is why it's hard for me to find real good news about India. And in fact, if you're from India, you email me. info@redskyradio.net, and tell me where I can get correct information as to about what's going on in your country. But I want to indicate here that just a couple of things here, that this is more on a geopolitical basis about the difference that's going on in this riot between the Hindus and the Muslims. I generally support, generally speaking, to support the law that would exclude Muslims from coming into India. Do I support the Hindu riots from what I know and apparently the killing of a bunch of Muslims? The killing of them, no. Do I support the law that would prevent Muslims from coming in and Islamifying India? I do oppose that because that's what they've done no matter where they've gone. Islam has not lifted any country that it's taken over. It's been a degradation and has dragged it down. I understand the Hindu desire to protect what they have from that standpoint. But interestingly, the riots there remind me of a biblical event. So I guess the Hindus they yell something like Jai Shri Ram, and I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, but it means victory to Lord Ram. And it reminded me of something from Scripture. And it's when Paul goes and preaches in Ephesus, and in Ephesus, those who support the goddess Diana were so inflamed that they caused a riot and started yelling, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Now, don't get me wrong. This is only a reminder of a similarity. It doesn't mean that Paul is like the Muslims and that the Hindus are like the Ephesians. No, I don't support and I don't agree with Hinduism. I don't agree with Islam. I'm a Christian. Always will be. And Christianity is truth. Everything else is a false religion. But the riot reminded me of that. That rioting in Ephesus, and they wanted to protect their god, Diana, like the Hindus apparently want to protect Ram, I guess. I don't know the Hindu religion. The next thing, though, that it points out, which I thought was from Scripture, which I thought was interesting, was that in Scripture you have, there was this battle between the Ephraimites and the Gileadites. And the Ephraimites got waxed. They got hit hard. And the Ephraimites got routed. But when the Ephraimites wanted to come back into the land that the Gileadites now possessed, but it used to belong to the Ephraimites, the Gileadites would say to an Ephraimite, they would say, and I'm reading from Judges 12:5 here, it says, they said to the Ephraimites that wanted to pass through, but they didn't know if they were an Ephraimite. They were trying to find out, are you an Ephraimite or are you a Gileadite? They would say Shibboleth. And when the person couldn't say Shibboleth, but they could say only Sibboleth, that's how they knew that the person was not a Gileadite. It was an Ephraimite because the Ephraimites could not say Shibboleth. They could only say Sibboleth. And they killed a guy, and the Gileadites killed 42,000 Ephraimites. They couldn't say it. It just wasn't in their dialect or their tongue to put that H sound in their sh instead of s. And that's where we got the word Shibboleth. What I thought was interesting is that the rioters, this part of the story is correct, in an effort to find out and determine who's a Muslim and who's a Hindu, the Hindus were going around and pulling down the pants of men. And if the men were not circumcised, in all probability, they were Hindus, because Hindus generally are not circumcised. If they were circumcised, they were Muslims, because most Muslims are circumcised. And so the foreskin became the Shibboleth this past week in India. I just thought it an interesting analogy and comparison. How, as Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. Well, what does that have to do with the state of Tennessee? Only one thing in this respect. I'm finishing with good news. There's an incredible revival occurring in the state of Tennessee. I have said for a long time, Tennessee is one of the few states that I see leading the secession. The two at the top I see are Oklahoma and Tennessee. It has never been Texas. But when there's a leave based on righteousness, the people in Tennessee will lead it. Nashville declared itself to be a city for Jesus Christ, and the Tennessee legislature devoted itself to be a supporter of Israel. God has blessed that state unbelievably. They are having this repentance that is sweeping the state. There is a revival sweeping the state, and it is among young people. And this thrills me to no end. I have always loved the volunteer state. I even love the name, volunteer. Now, having said that, there's a problem. Nashville has a mayor who came from California, and she came there and tricked people and came there with the sole purpose of being able to lead Tennessee into being pro-abortion and pro-queer marriage. She is a carpetbagger from California, like Hillary Clinton was a carpetbagger from the Democratic Party going up to New York from Arkansas. She's bad news trying to lead these people straight. So in Arizona, we have a statement, and there are signs that says, "Do not Californicate Arizona." The problem with Tennessee is it has done so well, and it's an income tax-free state. You have too many Californians moving to Tennessee, just sort of like the Hindus kind of don't want more Muslims coming into India. I make that comparison. You think about it. This is Rob Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.